Yeah, just hanging out on a Sunday night that has temperatures above the freezing mark, and we're going to see well into the 50s all this week, maybe even 60 by Friday. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Yeah, Moose Miller in for Gerilyn Steele here on WCCO. It's Steele talking. We're visiting with University of Minnesota's political science professor Tim Johnson, talking about the Supreme Court and where things probably are going to be heading relative to the Affordable Care Act challenge. But now the Obama administration has just filed a Supreme Court brief that says they believe that bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional. And now the court is saying, okay, we'll set aside some argument time coming up in April on this?
Yeah, I believe the arguments are on April 28th. And they have set aside extra time. So the way the court works is it generally gives 1 hour to each case that it hears. Each side gets half an hour. And both in the Affordable Care Act case as well as in the gay marriage cases that will be argued, they've given additional time. And I think, I don't know for sure, but I think they're giving 2.5 hours for the gay marriage cases to be argued.
All right, so obviously the approach here is going to be that, you know, it's going to be a federal decision versus a state by state.
That's right. Well, you know, the questions are twofold. I mean, one is whether or not the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause is violated if you don't allow people to get married who are of the same sex. But the other actually is a more specific federalism question, and that is whether or not states have the power and or the right to determine who can be married within their borders. I think the court probably will answer the case based on the federalism mm-hmm. question, and my guess is that the court ultimately says states don't have that power.
What do you think about recently the federal judge down in, Corpus Christi or was it El Paso or somewhere down around the border that came in and, you know, basically gummed up the works for President Obama when it comes to, undocumented workers and aliens that may be living here that are kind of in that limbo status.
Sure, sure. That case will ultimately, while it is going to be about the president's immigration policy, it ultimately comes down to a question of presidential power or executive power.
Yeah.
That is, can a president simply use an executive order to make a policy rather than waiting for Congress to pass a law? And in this case, the president, and many presidents have done this, said Congress isn't going to get anything done, and they'll never do anything with immigration reform because it's not good politics to be on either side of that debate, so I'm just going to do it. And so this case is actually interesting to the extent that, well, you've got this judge that, as you said, gummed up the works. The case gets to the Supreme Court, it's going to be about executive power. And the one thing the Obama administration has going for it in this case is that this court, as conservative as it is ideologically, is a huge friend of executive power. Now, the Obama administration has lost some big cases before the Roberts Court, but this one is going to come down to an issue of whether the president has this power rather than a focus specifically on immigration.
Yeah, well, and again, getting back to executive order, too. I mean, that's, president after president, you know, definitely cherishes and some would say abuses executive order privileges.
Absolutely. I mean, it really is a way, you know, you can look at it two ways. One is that cynical way where you say, look, he's skirting the democratic process. The other way to look at it is to say, look, if the democratic process isn't going to work and we have a significant national problem, and I think everyone on both sides of the aisle can agree that immigration is a massive federal problem, national problem, national issue. And then you've got a president that says, if you guys aren't going to act, I think I need to do something about it.
Well, and this is all, once again, backing up against 2016 presidential politics.
Absolutely. And that's where, in the end, I think that both the ACA case as well as the gay marriage case really looms large, right? And it looms large because of 2016. And I think that part of the thinking on the ACA, and I don't believe that this is part of the thinking of the Supreme Court, but I think part of the thinking of the Republican Party is if the Supreme Court strikes down the ACA, they've just lost a massive part of their platform. right? Because part of their platform is arguing against Obamacare.
Yeah, but then can't you make that part of the new platform if it's a Justice Roberts type of approach here that, look, let's let politics and presidents decide this.
That's right. No, that's absolutely possible.
And so now you reboot the Republican campaign heading into the 2016 election, which is, okay, if you want to take this thing down, here's how we do it.
That's right. And I think that that is a possibility. And then I think the whoever ends up running on the Democratic side is going to have to do a much better job than the Obama administration ever has done of touting all of the good things that the ACA has done. And if they can do that, then they can beat back that Republican attack. And it's just going to be who's better on the ground.
Yeah. Well, and now you've got 10 million people, 11 million people that are enrolled in this thing,
yeah,
or even more.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have a say in this, at least at the polls.
Exactly. And price is going down, right? And that makes people happy, right? They're saving money, and suddenly all these people who never had health care have health care. So it really will play a huge role, I believe, in the 2016 election.
Yeah. This is a conversation for another day, but when you look at, you know, what came out of, you know, the Roosevelt New Deal approach and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all of that stuff coming up through the Johnson years as well, you know, people were kicking and screaming when, you know, these huge government entitlement programs came out. But now, you know, it's the third rail of politics.
Very much. It is very difficult to touch any of these issues, right? And we know you can go all the way back to 2000 in Bush versus Gore campaign where Al Gore argued about Social Security being in a lockbox. Well, in some sense it is, because you're right. Anyone touches Social Security or Medicaid or Medicare and they're in a lot of political trouble.
Sure. Interesting times, and we'll see what becomes things at the end of the month of June for gay marriage and then also the Affordable Care Act. But it sure seems like if you start to read the tea leaves, you can start to get an idea of where it may be heading. Thanks for your time this evening.
I'm glad I could be here.
Yeah, University of Minnesota's Tim Johnson for Political Science, specializing in the Supreme Court.